Open your mouth. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. This is Zechariah the priest. He had a responsibility in the temple in Jerusalem. He was a part of this royal priesthood that represented Israel before God. And he had a great responsibility as a religious man, as a holy man. You know, he was known by the nation of Israel. He was known by God. But they had no children. Him and his wife were elderly now. And for years, they have both been praying for a child. They had both been praying that they would have something to pass down to this next generation. And see, that's in the heart of God's people. What can we pass down to the next generation? And in verse 8, it says, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at that hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Here is the man working in the church, taking part in the religious duties. The people are praying. The people are calling out for God. And Zacharias is right in the middle of all of this. And he begins to see an angel of the Lord, and he begins to become filled with fear. And I believe a lot of times, even now, more than ever before, a lot of God's people, if they were to have a revelation from God, it would terrify them. It would bring terror to them, because they're so accustomed to what their eyes see and not what the eyes of faith would allow them to see. Yes, he knows God is real, God exists, but does he really believe in the unseen things of God? Does he really believe that there are heavenly powers at work within the temple, within his life, within society? Does he really believe that the things of God are real, even though they're unseen to the world? And all of a sudden, he sees this angel right there in the temple. He's front and center with the things of God. And it doesn't bring joy, but it brings fear, trembling, trouble. Why? Because though he was a believer and he was a priest of God, there was something in his life that was not right. He was a righteous man. He loved the Lord, yes. Don't get me wrong. But there was something in there that was not right. And I'm going to tell you this, God will always visit his people. God visits you every morning, noon, and night. He just so happened to reveal himself through an angel of the Lord. Verse 11, it says, verse 13. It says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. It is a revelation that is given in Scripture that Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth have been praying for many, many years, and that the prayer has now finally been heard. Some of you have been praying for years for the will of God to be done, for the glory of God to be revealed, for healing. For some of you, you remember when you had no child and you prayed for a child? And now that child is there? Glory to God, amen. You remember when things were not right in your life and you were asking for deliverance, you were asking for healing, and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and it never came to pass until one day it does? This should be a time of joy, a time of rejoicing in the Lord, a time of praising. But Zacharias is filled with fear. Verse 14, The angel goes on to say, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. You see, you will have joy. He did not have joy at the moment. For he, this child, will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Now I'm going to just tell you something right now. And if you can agree to disagree, that is fine with me. You can go ahead and keep on drinking all you want. But if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to avoid wine and drink. Amen. There is no other way. I'm not condemning those who say they're Christians and they're sipping saints. I'm not condemning you. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit and no other drink of the world. That's it. Jesus said about this man, John, that there is no one greater born amongst women than this man, John. He was the greatest man ever born. And yet John even understood at the end of his death, he said, I must decrease so that he may increase. Is that the motto in your life today? I must decrease so that Jesus may increase in my life. You're free to eat, free to drink, free to do the things that God has said you could do. But does it bring glory? Does it bring you closer to the Lord? Does it edify the others in the body of Christ? If it does not, it doesn't belong. That's just it. Because our walk is not about us. Our walk is for the benefit of others as well. Verse 16, and this boy, he, John, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. You see, if you are going to be used by God today to turn the children back to Jesus, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You hear that? If you want your children in your own home to turn to the Lord God, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I speak to all parents watching online, with children at home, all ages. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the only way they'll seek God when they're adults. And even then, they'll have trouble, but they'll always come back to the Lord. Verse 17, he will also go before him, meaning this John will go before Jesus in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We must be a people prepared for the coming of the Lord once again. Jesus is coming back once again in the rapture of the church, in the twinkle of an eye. We're going to get caught up and we're gone while the rest of the world faces the wrath of the final Antichrist. It's coming. Be prepared. The church is, so to speak, that voice crying out, prepare. Jesus is coming. Repent. The kingdom of God is here. It is now. And Zechariah said in verse 18 to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am old. I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. This is a big deal. This is the archangel Gabriel saying, I'm Gabriel and I stand before God. Meaning, I got this revelation from God himself. Didn't get handed down from another angel to another angel. God told me with his very own lips. And let me tell you something. When you grab this Holy Bible, it's just the same. God has spoken to you with his very own lips through this word. God is giving you revelation. As the angel gave revelation to Zacharias, it's the same for me and you. You and I. We have the revelation from God. Many men and women stood in the presence of God. Their stories written in the Bible for us to learn from their failures and their victories and to choose which way we will walk in. Look, at the end of your life, Christian, what will you have to offer to Jesus? Because we will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm telling you, that day is coming sooner than you can possibly imagine. And He's worthy of all honor, all glory, and praise. When you come to the judgment seat of Jesus, Christian, hey, you're saved. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're not going to be judged for going to heaven or hell. You're in the body of Christ. But you will come before the judgment seat of Christ, as 1 Corinthians teaches, and you will lay everything you did as a Christian at the feet of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit fire will hit it. It will burn up what was useless. And what remains will be the gold. The things you did that were with a right heart, that were passion, that was filled with Holy Spirit power for the salvation of lost souls, for the building up of His church, for the advancement of His kingdom. Guys, this is that treasure where you'll lay at His feet and you'll say, with the whole of heaven watching, this is how much you meant to me, Jesus. This is how much the cross meant to me. And some of you are going to have a great treasure, and some of you will have just a little treasure, but there will be treasure there. But doesn't Jesus deserve the most treasure you could possibly lay at His feet? Yes. Be free in the name of Jesus today. Be delivered from those strongholds so that you can get going with the good things of God. Stop sowing into the world and start sowing into the kingdom. Verse 20 says this, "But behold, Zacharias, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Let me tell you something. This is what is happening. Now, I want you to pay attention to this, please. You don't miss this. A lot of God's people in our day have been muted by God. You hear what I'm saying? A lot of God's people in the house of God have been muted by God today because they don't believe, because they have fear, and that's why they still struggle with sin, because there is some type of fear in you that you just cannot come to the place of faith and believe God for deliverance. You're a priest. Yep, you're like Zacharias. You're a priest. You're in the church. You're doing the religious thing. You're in charge of lighting the candles. You're in charge of doing this. You're a Christian. You go out there in society. Yes, amen. You're saved. You're hallelujah. But there's something there that only God can see. And because of that, you're not growing spiritually. You're not maturing in the faith. Because God has put you on mute. Because God is saying, I'm not going to let you go further until we get this right. Your mama and daddy ever do that? No. We're going to get this right here, right now. All my dad had to do was look at me. My mom, she hit me with whatever she can grab. And it was funny because she was a little lady, still is a little lady. I was a terror. But God loves you. He loves His children. And if there's something that you just will not surrender, He'll mute you. But look at this. Look at the end of verse 20. "Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." You're going to be muted for a season. And for Zacharias, it was 9 months. He was mute for 9 months. Could not talk for 9 months. Look at verse 21. "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple." You know, let this speak to you. He was in the temple longer than he usually was. Why? Because he had an encounter with God. We're pretty much on routine here, aren't we? Every Sunday, I'll be out by 11:45, and that's just the way it goes. But what happens one day when you're Where's Pastor Jason? It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He's still at church. Something must have happened. Revival broke out. Revelation came. Some supernatural move of God. There's going to be, now watch this, I'm no prophet, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some things that are going to happen in this world in our very near future that are going to shake not only the foundations of the church, but the foundations of this world. And it's going to drive you into the house of God, into the prayer, congregational prayer. You're not going to care that it's a Thursday night, 8 o'clock at night. You're going to be here praying because a supernatural move of God is going to happen in this world soon. And you're going to remember, man, I used to be just watching at home, watching TV, getting ready for the work next day. Now you're going to know, there's no place I need to be in a house of prayer. Why? Because of all that's happening. Because a move of God is happening in this world. I see it all. I've seen it. People come to the house of God when something happens. But see, this time is different. This move of God that's coming is going to affect the entire world. Because God loves all people. And he's going to allow this world to go through what it needs to go through for them to look and say, there is a God who loves me. How much better for those who are already in the house of God, worshiping and praising his holy name. And not just picking when it's convenient for you, but it's you're there when God has called you to be there. You're going to be wherever you need to be when God is saying, open your mouth. Open your mouth. For Zacharias, he was put on timeout. And some of you have been put on timeout because God is dealing with you. God wants you to learn from the failure that you've gone through. He wants you to understand, you know what? I've tried it my way and I'm miserable. I've tried it my way and I have no hope. No faith. I'm still filled with fear. God will put you on time out to bring you to that place of realization that to walk with Jesus, it always has been and it always will be by faith. When you have faith, there will be no fear. There was fear in Zacharias because he lacked faith. He did not believe face to face what a heavenly angel was telling him. And he was a priest of God. He should have known better. You should know better. To whom much is given, much is required. Verse 22. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. She was pregnant. Praise God. Elderly woman having a young baby. Amen. You older married couples. Imagine that. Brother Robert's like, no way. They were not older. They were elderly married couple. Verse 59, let's move on down to the chapter. So it was on the eighth day, the baby had been born, 8 days old. They came to circumcise the child, John, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote saying, his name is John. So they all marveled Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. When your mouth is open, you better start praising God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. That fear was not the fear that was being described with Zacharias when he encountered the angel. That's not that same kind of fear. This fear is the fear meaning they came to a realization that God is awesome, and it drew them unto God. Glory was given to God. Amen. And verse 66, and all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. This is incredible. This is incredible. This is awesome. You're witnessing a believer getting called out of being on timeout. You ever been there? It's a new season. You've arrived. Your mouth is opened. Now it's time to praise God. Not just audibly, but visibly, spiritually. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, body, and soul. Show up. Be there. Be counted amongst the faithful. Praise his holy name. That is what the world needs today. God inhabits the praises of his people. That's scripture. When you start praising God, he is in you, because that's what he inhabits. You hear me today? Some of you are on timeout, and I see it, I know it, because you can't lift up your hands, because you can't really get to that place of faith where, you know, you begin to pray for another in the grocery store. You know, somebody's telling you about their problems, and you just say, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Oh, I'm going to keep you in prayer, yes. Oh, you lay your hand on their shoulder, and you begin to pray for that person, and you begin to show them the goodness of God. They're not alone in Jesus' name. And if you do that for others, imagine what God's going to do for you. Amen? Amen? Amen. You are his hands. You are his feet. You were meant to praise his holy name, yes. Christian. Verse 67, it says here, now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. You see, this is an important thing theologically to understand, because in Old Testament times, and I believe this might be, there's a lot of debate on what this means, but Jesus basically teaches us in the Gospels that the Holy Spirit would not inhabit you until after the cross. Until glory was given to the Father, until it was sealed, when the temple curtain was torn from the top to the bottom, and the earthquake happened at the death of Jesus on the cross, the resurrection would happen at that moment, over 500 people be raised from the graves, the Holy Spirit would now go out into the hearts of men. But you see, up until that time, in the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit would simply come upon you, upon King David, upon certain kings, upon certain judges of the Bible. The Holy Spirit would just come upon them, you know, fall upon them. Is that the same as being filled with the Holy Spirit? Is that the same? I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. God is mysterious in all his ways. But here's what I do know. The Bible teaches us that John, the baby, when he was in the womb of his mother, the Bible says that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from the womb of his mama. And so it doesn't shock me that when his daddy, Zacharias, gets called out of time out and gets his heart right, gets his faith put in check, that the daddy's filled with the Holy Spirit. This is God's will, that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But here's the indicator that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you begin to confess and prophesy the things of God, because only by the Holy Spirit can you say, Jesus is Lord. Amen. It's only by the Holy Spirit. Yes. And there's power in that word. And there's power in that message. Amen. When it's the Holy Spirit. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel. Verse 68, he says, this is the prophecy of Zacharias. He says, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. See, he's confessing it before it ever really comes into full fruition. John is still a baby, but yet it's happened now. Yes. Jesus is not even born yet, and Zacharias is confessing it. Well, Jesus was, how many months was Jesus behind John? 6 months? He was a little bit behind. Mary was still pregnant. And Zacharias is confessing it already. You pray for something, and you're saying, thank you, God, before it ever even is done. That's faith. Verse 69, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Amen. Look at what he says in verse 74, 75. And he says, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Look at verse 74. I want you to hear something, Christian. That is you. You have been delivered from the hand of Satan to serve God without fear. Amen. Zacharias can speak it because he was once a man filled with fear. And now he's set free. He's delivered. Just as some of you were delivered when you came to this altar this morning. You're set free. You're a new creation. Get on fire for God. The fire of God is about to visit this earth, this church. Amen. Verse 75. He says here, look, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. We can serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before God all the days of our life. This is for you the rest of your life. This decision, this deliverance is for the rest of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't this awesome? Amazing. Get excited about what God is doing. And you, child, he speaks to his son. He says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord. Look, he's looking at his son. He's looking at his baby boy, 8-year-old John. And I could just imagine this. He's picking him up in the like Simba, Lion King. Remember? They pick him up. The monkey picks up the lion, baby lion. This is what this, they robbed this from the John the Baptist. Hollywood, yes. They robbed him. He looked at his son. He says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, and through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is what God wants, to be out of darkness, to be in his marvelous light. This is a blessing that the father, Zacharias, spoke on his son. This is what this generation needs. The people of God that speak the blessings of God on this generation. What are you speaking today upon this generation? Are you just complaining about them, about their ungodliness? Or are you in the house of God praying for them? Are you in the house of God? Are you just sitting and doing nothing? This is our moment to speak life into this generation that's darker than ever before. This is our time. This is our hour. This is the greatest need. Before world war hits, the war is already hitting in the church. It's already happening in the spiritual realm. Families being devastated right now. Families being ripped apart right now. Killing each other. Murdering each other. And what is the church doing today? What did the church do when they loaded up all those Jews into the railroad carts and shipped them off to concentration camps? What did those German Christians do? They just kept singing the songs, hearing the train go by the church, not doing nothing about it. That's what some of you in the church are doing. You're doing nothing about it. And you say you're on your way to heaven. There's got to be a holy fear. There's got to be a love for this generation that rises up within you because God loves the world. And in doing this, they're going to hate you. They're going to call you a racist and a religious zealot. But you got to make a decision today. Are you going to honor your father, or are you going to please people? This is our moment to speak life into this generation that I believe will witness the Antichrist. This is our moment. We have not much time left. But Zacharias, he seized that moment. He was a very smart man, a man of wisdom. He had a teachable spirit. He as his baby was being created in the womb of his wife, God had to create something in him all over again too. And for some of us, the conversion is not instant. But some of you have been sitting for over 9 months under the altar of God, and it's time to open your mouth to give birth to the things of God. To stop looking like the world. Stop acting like the world. Stop talking like the world. Because heaven and earth are passing away, but he who does the will of God remains forever. Amen. And in verse 80, the last verse, it says, so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts to the day of his manifestation to Israel. You know what that means, the deserts is? He was in the wilderness. The wilderness is symbolic of temptation. You see, here's what you don't understand. John, most likely as a young boy, until he became a man, was tempted by the devil, was tested by God, and God delivered him because this child had the Holy Spirit in him, and his daddy had the Holy Spirit in him. And church, we are told by the Holy Scriptures that we have the Spirit of God in us, and if we're in the deserts today, if we're in the wilderness spiritually, we're going to be tempted, we're going to be tested. And we ought to give glory to God. Because the masses are going to come like they came to John the Baptist. And they're going to say, what do we do? And John the Baptist said, repent! Every one of you, you brood of vipers, who warned you about the coming of the Lord? This was that his message was so radical that it could not be preached in Jerusalem. They would not welcome him inside the city. The message of repentance, the beginning of the gospel message of the church, began in the wilderness, began in the deserts, and the people were coming to him, to John. The Pharisees, the soldiers, the rich, the poor, they were leaving Jerusalem and going into the wilderness to hear this message that was not acceptable to society, to the culture. And it's the same today. The true gospel message is not going to be accepted in the mainstream churches. It's not accepted in the world. Those churches that are preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, spiritually, those ministries are in the desert today. They're in the wilderness. They're being tested. They're being tempted. And God will deliver them. God will deliver them. The masses is coming, church. I pray Grace Christian Center is one of these churches that is symbolic of John the Baptist. The masses are going to come when those foundations are shaken and people begin to run, like when the lights turn on and the roaches begin to scatter in a room. People are going to begin to scatter and look for God like never before. We must be there. We must open our mouth. Let it give birth today. Let it give birth today. In Jesus' name.